Thank you, Lord, for the work that was done on the cross. Thank you for the one who gave his life on the cross that we might have life. Oh God, we pray that life, your divine life, your spiritual life would permeate out of us. And Lord, we would touch those around us. Thank you, oh God, for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray for your continued presence among us as we take time to look into your word. Give us understanding, we pray, and give us ears to hear, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good morning. I have not met most of you because I think most of you were snowbound last week, either at home or Mount Washington, I'm not sure which. It's good to see you. Are you happy today?
Yes.
Good. I watched the weather forecast this morning. You know what it said? No precipitation. Woo. Amen. Well, I'm honored to be among you. Honored to respond to this invitation by our district superintendent to come and serve as your interim pastor. There's a few things we haven't worked out yet, but we'll continue working on them. My hours here, my time here is kind of in limbo. I still have a business that I look after in Victoria, and I'm trying to get weaned from that as much as I can, but for the time being, I need some time during the week to be there. But when I'm here, I'll be in the office, and I want you to know that my office door is open, literally, physically open, and you're welcome to come in and introduce yourself first, because it'll take me forever to learn who you are, and then come and chat a while. I'm looking forward to meeting you personally, because I want to hear your story. I want to hear who you are. I want to hear about your faith. I want to hear about your walk. I want to hear about your interests. And so I look forward to meeting you on a very personal level. Good morning, Pastor Albert. Great to see you. We have a long association. I mean long. I still had hair when I met Albert. Hallelujah. John made reference to intercessory prayer this evening. I'm sorry, I didn't check the time. What time does it start? 6 o'clock, all right? It's vitally important that we as a church unite in intercessory prayer. You're at a very exciting juncture in the life of the church. And you're participating, you will be participating with the Lord in calling a new pastor, giving an invitation to the new pastor. But this is where the work starts, folks, and this is where we need to gather together and pray together and seek the mind of God and seek the peace of God, praying for the selection committee as they gather up all this information that you've given them on the surveys, and they'll go through it all, and they'll disseminate it down, and then they will pass that on to the district superintendent, who knows all kinds of wonderful people who could come and be your pastor. And then the discerning is put in place, and again we seek the mind of God and say, God, who should come and lead this flock? So I invite you to come. The prayer chapel maybe holds 60 people. How about we have 61? Okay? Yeah, let's gather together. Let's come together for a good time tonight as we seek God in prayer. Amen. I'm reading from John's Gospel this morning. In fact, I'm going to continue on in Scripture from one of the verses that I referenced last week, John chapter 21, verse 12. Come now and have some breakfast, is what Jesus said to the disciples when they had come to shore. They were fishing, Jesus was waiting on shore, and he invited them to come to him and they're going to have breakfast together. They're going to have fresh fish. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm going to be right out front with you, okay? I only have one wife. No, that's not what I wanted to say. I grew up in the prairies, and for a long, extended reason, I don't particularly like fish. Now, I know I'm in the wrong community. I know that. Maybe God's going to transform me during these time here. I don't know. I'm a turf man. And, you know, if you want to treat me, you bring me a steak. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Jesus said to these disciples, come on, have breakfast. And Peter brought one of the fish. They put it on the fire. I don't think this was too sophisticated restaurant of any kind. It was just simply nature. Put it on the fire, cook it up, and eat it. And so when we go down to verse 15, we read, after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Jesus, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus said, told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. One more time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question the third time and said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. The truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you would like and go wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would die to glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. Follow me. Peter turned. He turned around and saw the disciples Jesus loved following him. The one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and said, Lord, who among us will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? That's pretty sharp, isn't it? That's pretty sharp, but right to the point. My kind of conversation, actually. You follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that the disciples wouldn't die. That isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want you to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Father, bless this word and may it be food to our hearts and souls and understanding this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. The question that Jesus posed is very obvious. Do you love me? But he posed the question to Peter with a closing command. Follow me. Come with me. Follow after me. Jesus was checking Peter out. He was checking to see, number one, if he was trustworthy. I'm sure there is a scene indelibly burned into Peter's heart of the time when Jesus was on trial. And some of the people stood around and looked at Peter and said, you're one of his, aren't you? Oh, no, no, no. Well, you dress like he does. No, 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 no. You sound like he does. You're Galilee. No, 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 no. And the scripture says that Peter went out and wept bitterly because he realized at that moment the word of God was fulfilled. Peter was told that he would deny the Lord, and Peter said, "Oh, come on, me? Like, I'm your stalwart guy. I'm the main guy in this band of 12 here. I'm the guy that's going to stick with you through thick and thin. I am yours all the way." Peter, realizing he had denied the Lord, went out and wept bitterly. Breakfast is over, and now Jesus begins to speak directly to Peter. You know, there are some things you can talk about during a mealtime, there's some things you can't. And the things that you can't talk about during mealtime is something that's going to upset someone else, because there goes a good cooked meal. And so Jesus waited till breakfast was over. I don't suppose they did the dishes, but he waited till breakfast was over. And he turned to Peter. Notice that he says, "Simon, Simon Peter, son of John." That was Peter's old name. That was when Peter still had the old nature, before he had been refined, before the power of God went to work on this man. "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And I suppose that the rest of us, if we had been in Peter's position, would have said, "Oh yes, Lord, I love you." We might have even been so bold as to say, "Lord, if you only knew how much I love you." But I can tell you this for sure, the Lord knows. "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter responded and said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And in return, Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." Do we have any lambs among us this morning? Little ones, young ones, just learning to walk in this Christian life. That's the reference that Jesus was making to the little ones, the young ones, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody by saying, but the immature ones. The starters. We're getting going. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, feed my lambs." Then Jesus repeated the question as if Peter didn't hear it. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love me." "Then take care of my sheep." Same kind of animal, just a different level of maturity. "Feed my sheep." Some commentators feel that when Peter answered the question the first time, "Peter, do you love me?" he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But in the Greek, he didn't use the word agape, which we understand is complete love and perfect love. He used the word philia, which means, "Yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. I'm fond of you. I like you. I like your teaching. I like your character. I like the good that you do." That would be describing him as fond. And Jesus asked the question the third time. And now Peter replies and says, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus invited him to follow him. "Come, follow me." Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, there's two or three meanings that can come out of this. Number one, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Although if he was referencing the fishing equipment and the boats and the nets, he may have said, "Do you love me more than this?" At least in our language, in our understanding. "Do you love me more than this?" Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than your fellow disciples? You have a pretty good relationship with them, but do you love me more than these? And maybe you're sitting with your family or your friends, and the Lord would say to you, do you love me more than these? And you say, well, kind of tough to answer, you know. My mom and dad are sitting here. I really love them. You know, they're responsible for bringing me into this world. And, you know, my coffee buddies are here, and we meet every Monday morning, and I really like these guys, you know. They occupy my time, but they don't give me much more than that. Do you love me more than these? Peter, how much do you love me? And that same question comes to us. How much do we love the Lord? Do we hang with Jesus because it's a cool thing to do? Do we hang out with Jesus because it's kind of tough to go to church and not really love Jesus, you know? It becomes a very boring experience. How much do we love Jesus? You can fill in the blanks. I'm not going to answer that for you. These meanings, Peter had to cipher through. He had to understand. And I'm sure in that moment, Peter remembers the fact that Jesus asked him three times and he had denied the Lord the three times. Seems to be some kind of correlation there. Think of Peter, and again him denying Christ, and now making a turnaround and coming back and confessing Christ to Christ that he loves him. And think of the experience that Paul had on the Damascus Road. It was Saul then. His name later changed to Paul. He was the one that was out persecuting the church, stirring up the people, causing riots. But when the Holy Spirit spoke to him on that Damascus Road, it was like instantly he recognized who it was. Jesus, you're speaking to me. I'm hearing you, and I'm surrendering. I'm going your way. And Paul goes on to have an amazing and a marvelous ministry. They went through different circumstances, but both responded to the call of Christ. If Jesus said to the disciples and to Peter, do you love me more than all this stuff? He's certainly speaking to our generation. Now, you don't have to raise your hand to say amen to that. But I just see a little bit like this going on. Either you agree or you're starting to fall asleep. Do we love him more than the stuff? And again, you can sort that through and answer that question to yourself. Theologians suggest that this is maybe the second or third time that Jesus is meeting Peter after the resurrection. And he hadn't discussed it with him before. But it seemed that it was the time and it was necessary that they have this discussion. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But he needed to hear it from Peter's mouth. He needed to hear the confession of his lips. The confession of our lips and the faith of our heart, Christ is interested in. He needed to hear that. He needed to understand that. In one church we were pastoring, I had a new associate come to work with me. And on a Friday afternoon, things were kind of winding down. I picked up my phone. I called him over to his office and I said, come on over. Come to my office. And he came into my office. He had been with me about 10 days by then. He came into my office. And his face was about as red as that jacket over there. And I noticed, you know, he was very uncomfortable. I said, "What's going on? I just called you in to talk and see how you're fitting in and see how you're feeling about your new position and how things are going." He said, "I have to confess to you. I have to tell you. I came from a situation where there was a strong personality clash between myself and my superior. And it wasn't good." And he said, "When you phoned, I picked up the phone and you said, 'Come to my office,' I thought it was starting all over again." But God knows our hearts, see? In fact, it turned out that this man that worked with me was just absolutely wonderful. Great man. Enjoyed working with him, enjoyed having him on our staff, and he contributed a great deal. I wonder if we could see Peter, I wonder if his face turned red. You know, our body language gives us away every time. It just gives us away every time. We can't conceal anything. We can't hide anything. We're not that good. "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And each time, Peter would say, "Yes, you know, Lord, that I love you." Well, when we say to Christ, "We love you," he's looking for manifestation. He's looking for some kind of manifestation that would say, "Yes, I love you." And not just verbally, but in human expression. Then Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you love me, you declared that, follow me." Love always brings a task. Love always brings a task. Guys, you know that when we said to our girlfriends and now our wives, "I love you," that she was expecting some kind of manifestation of that love. And most of us bought into that. And we went down to the jewelry store and we bought a ring probably far more expensive than we could ever afford. And that moment, how many of you can remember when you gave your now wife her engagement ring? How many have been married over 50 years? Not me either. Did I hear somebody say it just feels like it? Peter, you're honest. Right on. But the excitement. And guys, I'm pretty sure that we thought that we bought the best ring we could afford, or maybe even bought one more than we could afford. And we did the payment thing. But we were so pleased and so proud to give it to the one we love. And that was our physical expression of saying to this lady, "I love you. I love you." Love always brings a task. Love is the greatest privilege in the world, but love brings the greatest responsibility in the world. And Peter's responsibility was this: take care of my lambs and take care of my sheep. Any shepherds among us? I was preaching on Pender Island probably a year and a half ago. I get invited to preach at this community church maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And I preached from the 23rd Psalm. When I came off the platform at the close of the service, this very wonderful lady came to me and she said, "You know, every word you said this morning was true about sheep." And the first thing I said was that sheep are pretty dumb animals. She said, "You're right. You're right." Peter, feed my sheep. Now, the shepherd, when he takes the responsibility of looking after sheep, and it's not a one-shot deal, it's a continuous thing, because the sheep and the shepherd get to know each other really well, so much so that the psalmist says, "The sheep know my voice." And the shepherd has to be the leader. He has to be the protector. He has to be the veterinarian. He has to be the door of the sheepfold, and on and on and on. He is the one who has to have the staff and the rod. The staff to rescue the sheep when they go astray. Jesus talked about the one out of the 100 that went too close to the cliff and fell down in the brushes. Well, the shepherd would take his staff, and he would reach down and gently put it around the neck of the lamb, and he would draw that lamb up to safety and then take the lamb home. But if he had some of his sheep were wayward, and they were stubborn, and they were thick-headed, and they were running off to the side, and the shepherd couldn't run that fast, he'd take his rod. His rod was maybe this long, and it was hand-designed. It was perfectly balanced in his hand. Now, depending what he wanted to do with these sheep, but he would, if he wanted to redirect them, he would take this rod, and he would throw it just on the outside of the sheep, which would cause them to turn in and come back to the fold. Or if there was a predator out there, and he was a good shot, his aim would be to hit that predator and scare him away, because those sheep are defenseless. That's the kind of people. That's the kind of sheep that Jesus was saying to Peter, "Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, look after them, pasture them. Make sure they have good pasture, make sure they have good food. Make sure they're well taken care of. Peter, feed my sheep." I remember the occasion of our Bible college graduation, and as we were passing through before our district leadership, the superintendent handed us our diplomas. And he said, "With this comes great privilege." And we were all young, and we were pumped, and we thought we had the answer for the world, and we were going to straighten out every church we ever went to. Boy, did we have to have an education. But he said, "This is a great privilege, and with this comes great privilege, but with this comes great responsibility." Having made a commitment of a life call to preach the Word of God, our responsibility is to preach the Word of God. Declare the Word of God. Tell the people about God. Tell the people about the Word of God. When Jesus dealt with people, he didn't deal with everybody the same. Didn't deal with each one on the same kind of formula. It's in fact like raising children. You ask somebody, "Do you have any special kids?" "Oh no, I love them all the same." Now, you could close your eyes and you know they'd be lying, because that's just not the way it is, because they are not all the same in personality and disposition and so on. And we treat them according to their needs. We treat them according to their personality. Jesus treated his disciples according to their needs and according to their personalities. And when Peter said to Jesus, and he wanted to be quick about it, he said, "Well, what about the other guy?" And he was meaning John. Jesus said, "Don't worry about John. That's none of your business. I'll look after John. And if I want John to live until I come, that's okay." And of course, the gossip machine started instantly. Instantly. "Oh, John's going to live forever. We're going to live forever. It's Peter that's going to die. You know, You don't know what kind of death you're going to have yet, Peter, but you're going to die. And the rest of us, we must be some saints. We're going to live forever. Jesus said, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. He said, worry about yourself if you want to worry about anybody. When you get old, they're going to lead you by the hand and take you where you don't want to go. And you know what my first thought was when I read that? Senior's residence. No, you can't touch my hand. You can't lead me by the hand. Peter, follow me. And to us this morning, Jesus is giving the same call. Follow me. There was work for Peter to do. There's work for us to do as we name the name of Christ as Lord and Savior. Follow me. Follow hard after me. Jesus says to his band of disciples when they started out, what did he say? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's follow God. Let's follow the Lord, excuse me, with all our ability, all our strength, all our desire, all our drive. Let's follow him. He is the Lord. Let's pray. Oh God. Oh God. Lord, you have done a marvelous thing for us when you've called us from sin to faith. Lord, you have done a marvelous thing for us when, by your power and your grace, you transformed us from what we were to what we are to what we're going to be. But Lord, in the process, you have asked us to follow you, to be your disciples, to be your proclaimers, to be your witness on this earth. And, oh God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to follow you and be an exact representation of what you want us to be. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know the confession of our lips. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you this morning to do your bidding and to do your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Follow me.